Welcome, everybody, to episode 17 of the Hot Rod Blues Podcast. I am your host, Sean Burton. Next to me is...
Sean Young, Coldwater High School.
Mike Abbott, Steel Rose Metal Co.
Javier Agustin, Bomber Steel Customs. And to my right is our good friend, the real deal, Gene McCoy.
Gene McCoy. Hey. We finally got Gene on the podcast.
Been talking about him the whole time now. This is Gene.
Yeah.
That's right.
What's left of me?
Ah, how you feeling today, Gene?
I'm feeling really good.
Yeah.
Have been for the last couple of days.
Yeah. This place, you know, so this place is like a sanctuary to me now.
Ever since
we become friends.
Well, it's my sanctuary, too.
How long has it been like that for you? Not this exact shop, just the shop in general. Like, when did you start turning wrenches?
Oh, gosh. Back probably around 1968, 1970.
Yeah.
I got interested in cars when I was just a kid because all the older guys had cars souped up of some sorts. And I guess the real thing that really kicked it in, I went to the Nationals when it was at the fairgrounds.
Yeah.
And I said, man, this is it. This is it.
Yeah. What year was that, do you think?
Off
the top of your head. Was that in 75?
75.
Yeah. The one that Paul made all the belt buckles for?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I think that was 75.
You got a belt buckle?
Oh, yeah.
You wear it regularly on Sunday?
No, it's in the collection up there. But, yeah, he cast those belt buckles for that year.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's
cool.
Did everybody get one, or was it an award?
No. I got one.
Sean got one.
You don't got one?
I got one.
You're not cool enough to get one. Yeah, sorry, buddy.
I heard Paul was actually going to break the casting out for me to get mine. You didn't get yours?
No. You didn't get yours?
No.
He didn't ask you about it?
No.
Oh,
I can't believe I'm on the
Are we talking about Paul Cosmo?
Yeah.
I don't know Paul. I've never met Paul.
That's probably why you didn't get
one. I didn't get mine from Paul. I know somebody, though, Sean. I'll get you one.
Evidently.
Yeah, I'll promise.
Oh, really?
We have to start numbering those. Sorry, Paul. This joke is completely at your expense. We're sitting in a really cool spot. You can't see. I wish there were more camera angles that you could just cycle through so you could see all the cool stuff in your shop.
Well, that's what B-roll's for.
Yeah. That's right.
Look to the B-roll.
That's right.
Well, you know what? You put it at the end of the C-roll, so you have to stick around or you have to fast forward. But so Gene and I became acquainted through Car World again through our group, through Mike. And I wouldn't even know you if it wasn't for the Legend
Show.
Well,
that's true. I guess it really hit home when we met down there one Saturday.
And it was was it shop day?
Yeah,
open shop?
Shop day.
Well, I had met, was that before or after the Legend Show? That was after.
Was it?
I met you doing buck riveting
at the Legend Show. At the show up there.
And you were... You're just kind of quietly observing a Saturday, and I got the reason we even became acquainted and became friends is sitting right behind us.
Well, that's true. So, were looking for a Model A.
I was not. I was not. I already had a Model A, and neither were you. You had a Model A.
That's true.
No, I don't.
It all kind of fell into place.
It's amazing how things like that happen in the world. Mike was there to watch that.
Yeah, that was pretty remarkable.
Well, you know, that thing, this exact car, and if Spanky, out of Spanky Hot Rods, is Mike is watching this, he knows the full story on that. That thing haunted me for 2 months. I don't know how it stayed on the marketplace for two
months.
Well,
I saw it a couple of times, but it just kind of went over my head, never really thought much about it. And then you mentioned it. That's what made the...
The connection.
Yeah.
Yeah. So essentially, I bought your body.
Well, if you weren't looking for one, I'm sorry.
Oh, no. I mean, I needed another project I still need another project.
Well, I mean, you jumped on it very...
You know, it's just one of those things that
I know
fleshed out. But I'm glad it did because a friendship was definitely born that day.
Yeah.
We went down to Mike's and grabbed that. Yeah. And I bought yours.
Yeah. So. Let me give you some history, if that's okay.
Go, do it.
Yeah. I was working down at the Commercial Appeal, down at the Memphis Plumbing Company, and I'd gotten into the hot rods, built a garage. We were living over in Parkway Village. Well, I think it was Coleman Taylor was over one street over from Union, and I saw a hot rod kind of like this. It was a 32, 34 cab with a little homemade bed, and... I found the guy that owned it, and I said, is that thing for sale? He said, yeah. I said, well, what would you have to be asking for it? I mean, you know, I didn't have any money hardly, just getting started. And he said, well, I'll take $500. Yeah.
Wow.
That let you know. So I got a friend that had a wrecker, and we went down there and got it. And, boy, when I pulled up in the driveway, my wife said, what do you plan on doing with that thing? Well, she had other words to say.
Yeah.
Junk. I said, well, I'm going to try to get it going. And, yeah, that was probably, well, we were living over there in 75, 76, somewhere over in there.
Yeah.
But that's pretty well started the ball rolling. They had taken and sectioned off the bottom because I guess it was rotten.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, just, it was a bare bones little hot rod.
Dig it.
Yeah.
Did she ask you how much you paid for it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I had to tell
did
her.
Did she hit the ceiling when you told her?
No.
No? She was okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay. But I mean, in what, 76, 70?
$500.
That was probably
a lot of money.
Yeah. That's like $3,000 now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was a lot of money.
But when I was growing up, before we got married, I had a 67 Plymouth Barracuda.
Dig it.
Four-speed, Formula S, high-performance 273.
Nice.
Loved that car.
Yeah.
And went to high school in it. And but when we got married, we traded it off for something more
family friendly.
Yeah. Before you leave the Barracuda behind, I want you to touch on some of the things you did in that Barracuda and what you would do in the middle of the night when y'all were courting, you and Miss Linda.
Okay, this is a whole different story.
We like those.
Yeah, I know. I had the Barracuda. Collierville Drag Strip was alive and going back then.
Yeah.
Back on out on Highway 72. Well, that was a dust bowl.
Right.
But anyway, Linda had to be home about 11 o'clock.
Right.
Well, they raced up until 1 or 2 in the morning out there. So I would drop her off at home. I would hightail it out to Collierville and drag race the Barracuda. I ran F stock.
Dig that.
Yeah. I had cutouts. I'd open up the exhaust pipe, cutouts. Had a 373. It was four speed.
Yeah.
I could take on the Roadrunners because it was only 1/8 of a mile.
Right.
So, but I had a heck of a time, and I had to be home by 12 or 12:30. And, you know, going through Germantown was a one light town.
Right.
Well, I was running late. And I went through Germantown 100 miles an hour, ran that light, and made it home.
Didn't get caught?
No.
Wow. Dig
they
that.
They were all asleep.
Yeah.
So if any Germantown police are listening, just forget what I said.
They're long since retired.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
how old were you at this time?
Probably 19, 20.
Really? So you and Linda have been together that long?
Oh, yeah. We had.
That's epic, yeah, man. That's awesome.
We have known each other going on 55 years.
Wow. That's awesome.
We dated for like 2 years.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did her dad like you?
Yeah.
He was okay with the Barracuda and.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't he one of the ones that got you deep off into wrenching, wasn't it? Linda's dad? Kind of, y'all used to fix
stuff? Yeah, we would work on his cars, and, you know, he pretty well was a do-it-yourselfer.
Yeah.
He had a station wagon that had a 390.
Dig it.
Yeah, kind of like, what's that show, Vacation?
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that thing was a tank.
Yeah.
But, you know, if any repairs were to be made, he would.
Dig that.
Yeah, and do brake jobs, small tune-ups. I mean, out of a one-car garage.
Right, right.
Whether it was cold or hot.
Well, that was common at that day and age.
Yeah.
You know, you had to be mechanically inclined to own a car.
But that was about the biggest thing, I guess, with the Barracuda.
And then you graduated straight to a 32 Ford. you went from the Barracuda to the 32.
I gotta step in for a second. I don't know where this falls in line, but there was one story that you told me. We have a lot, but he as hot as Model A's are right now, and that's how we always had a Model A story. Tell me about what happened when you had to, I guess, let one go, and it wound up in pieces.
What was
the Model A? You said it'll break your heart.
I cut it up with a cutting torch.
Yeah. How's that story go?
You really don't want to know.
I mean, I cut things all day.
I'll put the punchline on
this. This thing was everything. It had more rust on it than any car I'd ever seen. And I was trying to
salvage it.
Yeah. But one day I got in the mood and I had a new cutting torch and I cut that baby up like nobody's business. But you could go buy a Model A for $50, you know.
Right. You know, right. Different day.
Now you got to add two zeros on that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was nothing to. They had a little want ad paper here called East Memphis Shoppers News.
Yeah.
And you could find stuff all the time. And that you could buy a Model A cowl for $25.
Wow.
You know, it was. The stuff was out there more than it is now.
Of course.
But I think, we built a T-bucket.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you went from the Barracuda to a T-bucket.
Dig that. And it was pretty fast.
Yeah. What motor?
Small block. The motor was built by Lenotti.
Okay.
And we put it together.
Yeah.
And everything, that's back when Croman was cheap.
That's right. You can chrome everything.
Yeah. So it had chrome. Anything that could be chromed, it was chromed.
Right.
And I even, there was a guy here in town that did polishing on aluminum.
Yeah.
And I even had the transmission polished.
Yeah.
Dig that.
Yeah.
Dig
I mean,
that.
He ground that thing down smooth.
Yeah.
And that baby was shiny.
Wow.
I mean, it looked really good.
Yeah.
So the framework, after I got it put together, it was prettier than the car.
Wow.
Yeah, it was kind of a plum crazy.
Yeah.
Purple.
Yeah.
Kind of that range.
Yeah. Yeah.
Had two different interiors over its life.
Oh, man, that's another story.
I'm not going to let you lay off on.
Oh, yeah. We were in a show down in Sardis, the Catfish Run, and I had the tea bucket down there. Well, we decided to bring the tea bucket home Saturday night. And I had been warned there was a storm coming. Well, it was. And I was on Shelby Drive, just got off Interstate 55, and the bottom fell out. And no top on this car.
It's an ice cream scoop with a small block Chevy.
Oh, hey, I can't imagine what people thought that were passing me or going by me. But they were the raindrops felt like BBs.
I bet.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I finally made it. Well, before I got to the car wash to get a little shelter, I hydroplaned over there sharp, Mendenhall.
Yeah.
All right.
The thing hydroplaned, went around like that ride at the fair.
Gravitron?
The Tilt-A-Whirl.
Yeah, the Tilt-A-Whirl.
Luckily, I didn't hit anything. The car kept running. I got my wits together and made it to a car wash and stayed there till it quit raining. And I didn't live that far from this car wash. Made it home, and it had a tweed interior.
Oh, yeah, that's gone.
And
smelled like a wet dog.
That's classic 90s there.
Yeah. It was squishy.
Squishy.
It took probably, I don't think the thing ever dried out.
Yeah.
So
yeah. What year was that?
Gee whiz, Mike. That was probably around 81, 82,
okay.
Somewhere in there. Took the interior out and had another one put in.
Yeah.
So,
Did you go back with vinyl?
No, I went back with imitation leather, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, that way you could wipe the water off of
right.
it. Didn't have that problem anymore.
I was saying, because tweed, once you dried it out, it probably shrank like a...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it shrank up to nothing.
Smelled real
everything
bad.
Came unglued, unraveled.
Yeah. Did you put a hole saw in the center of that thing and put a shower drain in it?
Yeah. No, it was beyond... I got out of the car and walked in the house, and that was pretty much it.
Yeah.
You know.
You were done with the tea bucket air?
No, I still had it. I still had it. And we had moved out here in 95, and I still had that car then, and I sold it to a guy that worked for the Millington Telephone Company.
Dig that?
Yeah. And that thing popped up on a Facebook page here a while back, and I said, man, this thing looks mighty familiar. And sure enough, it was the car.
Oh, I would have had to get it back.
I don't know. This picture was taken at a car show.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I contacted the guy, sent him an email. He said, well, these are just random pictures that I pick out.
Right.
You know, so I said, well, that's my car.
The purple tea bucket? Still purple?
It was still, yeah. Yeah. It had it had two fours on it. Typical headers coming out the side, tube front axle. But
I think I've seen that car.
You might have. Yeah, it had a.
I remember two purple cars. Well, you know, two purple.
Yeah, last time I heard it was
Millington.
It was in Millington.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen one in Millington.
Yeah.
I can't remember what show.
He had it until his wife. She had a hard time getting out of it. And she fell, and it was time for the car to go.
Yeah, that's right. You can't be tripping the wife.
Right. Yeah, no. Doesn't work.
He had to get rid of the car. But, yeah, he lived in Millington. Huh. Yeah.
So let's rewind a little bit.
Sure.
What you did for a living and how long you did it. What brought you to that?
Well, I was a sheet metal worker. Yeah. And
that's why Mike had to ask that question. He's like, "Ooh, sheet metal work." Nah.
he's a 40-year veteran of sheet metal work. Exactly. That's impressive.
Exactly.
If you count the time that I got out of high school, that was my first real job. It was working for a shop. The building is still there, at Sycamore View. No, that's Pleasant View and Bartlett Road.
Oh, yeah.
It was a company called Bell and Hardin. I started out there making $1.35 an hour.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that was being a fab guy?
Yeah, I worked in the shop. Uh-huh. My job was making the round pipe.
Dig that.
Yeah, and most of it was 26, 28 gauge.
Right.
You know, and... made that and did other stuff, fabricating stuff. But then that job kind of played out, and I decided, well, I'm going to stay in the sheet metal trade.
Right.
So after that, I got into sheet metal local number 4 as an apprentice.
Yeah.
And stuck with it
yeah.
up until about 7 or 8 years ago.
So you were a union sheet metal guy for how many years?
Actually, about 38.
Wow.
Yeah.
What led you to HVAC, making ductwork and stuff like that? What brought you to that point?
I guess I liked it because it was shiny.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, I can understand that. I can understand that.
Just like a Barracuda.
Right?
The galvanized metal was shiny.
Yeah, yeah.
And... I didn't care nothing about going to college. I really wanted to learn a trade.
Yeah.
And, you know, I tell you, it was the first shop I worked at, I worked for a good guy.
Yeah.
And worked around a good bunch of folks. And, you know, you paid your dues.
Right.
Like anybody else does when you're in that kind of trade. You do all the grunt work.
That's right.
You know, but I was young enough where I could, you know,
take it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't complain. I just nodded. Okay. You right. want me to go do that? You know, go get drinks at break.
Yeah.
And I kind of like that because I'd always keep the change.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's the pros of getting drinks.
Yeah. That's right. You know, so.
I got to be honest with you. I've heard a few stories that you were the guy dishing out the dues later on in your career.
Okay. Who you been talking
to? Philip Vickery told me that if they were having somebody they didn't like, they put them with you. Is that true?
Probably.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, you didn't cut nobody no slack?
No.
Absolutely.
I didn't care if you were the boss's son or daughter.
That's right. You were going to pay dues.
You were going to work.
Yeah.
Just like
everybody else.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was no lollygagging around.
So how long were you in the sheet metal trade before you started trying to take what you were learning in sheet metal trade and apply it to this?
Oh, what do you mean?
Like applying it to hot rods.
Oh, yeah.
Second day?
Probably. Second day?
No. I really didn't start. I didn't really have a place to do it.
Right.
Until we moved out here.
Yeah.
And it's grown into this.
Yeah.
And I'll throw this in. That 8-foot break was my retirement gift to me.
Really?
Yeah.
Dig that. Who gave that to you?
He did.
Me.
You gave it to you.
First of all, I want to thank me for believing in me.
Yeah. Because I said.
The union didn't send you off with no tools?
Only my own.
Oh, yeah. Man, come on. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what did you get when you retired from the union? A gold watch?
A plaque? Yeah, I did get a gold watch.
You did?
Yeah.
And a plaque.
Got several, 50-year award, 25-year awards,
wow.
Stuff like that. Numerous things down through the years.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
so what led you to doing buck riveting? How long ago was that, and what kind of led you to that?
I picked up a Street Rodder magazine, and I still have that magazine. It's wore out, by the way.
Yeah.
But I ought to be able to tell you the date. But there was a 32 Ford Roadster in there, and this guy, Frank Wallach.
Yeah.
He was doing the aluminum work.
Yeah.
And I said, man, this is killer here.
Yeah.
I really like this. So my first riveting job was very crude.
Of course.
I didn't have the air gun or any kind of tools.
Right.
I didn't know. I was using big 3/16 rivets, which were too big.
Yeah.
But that's really looking at that book. And when I was a kid, I loved airplanes.
Right.
You know, I'm still in love with the Beast, the Memphis Belle.
Yeah.
And I just like that aircraft industrial look.
For sure. Do you still have that first piece that you riveted together?
The first piece?
Yeah.
It's probably that seat right back.
Really?
In that cab.
Yeah.
That was probably the real major thing I did.
Yeah.
As far as seats and.
I'll have to take a look.
Yeah. It was.
Sitting right over there.
Yeah.
That's actually. We're going to get
well,
to that.
Well, I take that back. Okay. There was another article in one of the books where the guy had made the round seats.
Yeah.
Kind of like a barrel back.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That Lee has got.
Yeah.
In his pickup. That's really the first seat out of aluminum I made.
The ones in Lee's pickup?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You did those.
Yeah. I've seen those. Those are nice.
Yeah.
And sure. Y'all know Mackie.
Yeah.
Yeah. He. They were putting on a show, and I said, well, I'll make you up a pair of seats that y'all can auction off. It was like that.
Yeah.
And I've still got the pattern for those seats. So, you know, they're real simple, not as complex as some of this other stuff.
Right.
But I studied that magazine. I even called Wallach himself, and He gave me a few pointers.
Dig that.
Yeah.
What a guy.
Yeah. Yeah. But I know now why those guys don't do it, because it's very time consuming.
Hell yeah, it is. It'll a lot of work.
Yeah.
So I'm going to put a lot of pictures of your 32, of this tan car, on the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
So, you guys won't believe this. I mean, it is. It's unbelievable. It's unreal.
Well,
yeah.
It's a sedan, for that matter.
True. I mean,
the sedan's also just a rot with rivets.
Have you ever pulled the seat cushion out of the 32? Have you seen under the seat cushion, the seat you actually sat on? Have you seen under it?
No, but I'm going to have to now.
No, yeah, well, the devil's in the details, man. That thing,
it's going to blow your mind.
Yeah.
Okay.
Something you
you're
never
not
see.
Even ready. You're not even ready. And, I mean, this is the thing that no one will ever see. No one's going to walk up to your car and, like, pull the bottom seat cushion out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
Except for me, I guess. Yeah, right. Like, what does it look like? That's, wow.
That what threw me off on that seat was the back. The back is arched up to vertical.
Right.
You know, from the bottom to the top. And then there's another back that is arched from left to right.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's hard.
Yeah. And you have to attach those two pieces together and make sure it looks halfway decent.
And it does.
Yeah. And it threw me for a loop, you know, because I studied it. But I tell you what I did. I probably cheated. I was at George's, one of his get-togethers, and I asked him, can I borrow a seat? And he Bobby Madden was working for him at the time, and he told Bobby, let Gene borrow a seat. So it was one that Wallach had built.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's epic.
You reverse engineered
the article.
It. Yeah.
And then you had one there.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
But that's just
awesome.
Motivation. Yeah. That's hot rod
and
stuff.
And I was thrilled to death that he let me borrow that, you know.
Absolutely.
And
it's like getting your
hands on
your hero's thing they touched, you know?
He had made one out of copper.
I like copper.
Yeah. And, man, that thing's a work of art, let me tell you. It'll blow your mind to see that.
Well, let's touch a little bit on the technical side of it. So what size rivets do you normally use? Size and length. So diameter.
Well,
length.
The length varies on the thickness,
you're
joining some pieces together.
Yeah.
Mostly the 1/8 rivets.
Yeah.
And I have no idea what size head.
No idea what size head. Yeah.
You
use the round head, though, right?
Yeah, the dome.
Yeah. And then on the backside of it, do you flatten it, or do you dome the backside too?
I just flatten it.
You flatten
because
it.
Because usually I have a bucking bar.
Right.
Back there on the back side.
Yeah.
And I try to make it where you don't really see it. If it's too long, I'll take a little die grinder.
And buzz it down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Knock it down some.
And what's the name for that little piece that you gave me so you don't have chatter marks on your sheet metal? That little plastic piece you gave me for the...
That's just a guard that goes over the head of the rivet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That keeps the chatter marks out.
What
gauge sheet metal do you normally use?
Mostly 063 for seats.
Okay.
And maybe some 050 for door panels.
Dig that.
In that neighborhood.
Okay.
Some of that edging that is made for those seats, it's probably made out of 040.
Right.
045, because you want to be able to... put it in the shrinker stretcher. It's like a cap that goes over a raw edge.
For sure.
Yeah. And what you end up doing is you make it a little long on one side so you can
run the shrinker stretcher.
Right. And then you cut that extra off and you got a nice cap.
Right.
Strip that goes over that aluminum.
Yeah. Versus doing like a hemmed edge or something to that effect.
Yeah. I've never. Man, doing a
hemmed edge is hard.
Oh yeah,
without warping it.
Yeah, it's tough to make that thing look good.
Yeah,
I messed up more than I would.
We all have.
Know.
We all have.
All right, that's enough technical sheet metal. Sorry, we had to nerd out on sheet metal.
And guys, we're back.
My bad.
Hot Rod Blues.
I had to nerd out on sheet metal a little bit. I love metal.
For
you
those
know,
of you just joining us, we just got woke up.
Yeah.
The Mike and Gene show.
I'm sorry.
No, it's
for
all
nerding out on sheet metal. Is
we
how
knew,
many times
we knew it's going to happen?
Oh no!
How many times are you going to get another metal guy on here? Name another one. There's me. There's Gene. There's Justin. There's Bob.
Yeah. Bob.
There's the other Bob.
No, we've had Bob Schreiber. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. We've had a few metal guys on here.
Name another one other than that.
Well, I mean, hell, we've only had, a few episodes, man.
We're on 17.
We're on 17. We had two metal guys.
That seems like a lot.
I'm just joshing you, man.
It is a lot. It is a lot out of 17. That's a lot higher number.
I promise you, there's people at home every time he was opening his mouth that were writing down exactly what he's
doing.
Well,
yeah, especially once they see this work.
Oh, yeah, and you should.
They're going to want to know that technical info.
Yeah. And knowing it doesn't make it happen, which is...
Yeah, you got to get to work.
You got to get to work.
Well, the details to me is what pretty well makes it. I mean, it may take you a long time, but believe me, in the end, it's worth it.
Yeah.
Well, I can say this from just being in here with you all. The time that I have is your style is meticulous.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Very meticulous. It's all. There's nothing. It's quality. It's all quality. No doubt, it's from discipline in the trades.
It's an illness.
It really is. It's a
meticulous. Meticulous equals time consuming.
Well, and equals show stopping.
Yeah, I've got my share of battle scars from meat hooks. If anybody don't know what a meat hook is, you haven't done metal work.
That's right.
So, you know.
Well, I will take this brief minute to let you know one of my favorite things, my favorite qualities about you is that you're humble as humble gets, but your work is unreal.
Well, I appreciate that so much.
It really is. It's mind blowing.
Well, thank.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. You probably don't hear that a lot.
No,
because you spend that time saying no, it's not that great, but it's epic. Yeah. Your work is epic.
But you know, he also doesn't get out much. I mean, like you know, like the 31. First time I saw it, you know, I was like, "What? Where's this thing been? It's been built for 6 years or whatever." I'm like, "What?"
Well, there was that's a 10-year project. It felt like, but it was probably 8 years. Had some. You know how it is with cars.
Setbacks.
Yeah.
Y-block setbacks. Well, frame setbacks.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
Change it, roof change of direction setback. Yeah, you know, that thing was supposed to have gold wing doors at one point, wasn't it?
It was going to be like, it was all louvered top.
The sedan?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, this thing went through three different iterations.
And,
How did it start? What was your original vision?
That's a great. No, let's rewind the tape all the way back. Yeah. How did you get it, and where did it sit when you first got it, and who didn't know about it?
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, so this car is a car that I've shot for Modern Rodding. So it'll be coming out. So I was waiting to write the article until we met, so that I could if there was any more information. In this conversation.
Oh, it's happening. It's about to happen right now.
So yeah. So there'll be a lot of writing tomorrow actually. So but yeah, go ahead. Tell us about how you got the car and
okay. The body came from David Meek and he bought it up in Springfield. And he didn't want it after he bought it. And I said, well, if you don't want it, I'll take it and try to build the car. I sandblasted it, got it in etching primer, started building the frame, and I wanted a nostalgia motor that would kind of fit that period of car, not your typical small block. You know, I wanted to keep it all forward. The car is all forward as far as I could. C6 transmission, the Y block, forward rear end, and it was just I don't know, what's the phrase people use when they want something really bad? It was...
Longing for it?
No,
what do you mean?
It was a passion.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
No matter what she did to me, I was going to see...
You're a battered spouse.
Hey, you know, we went through some changes, changed the rear end. It was Z'd too much for me. I had Z'd the car in the back 16 inches, and it just didn't work. Yeah. It didn't work. I changed the front end. How many times, Javi? Twice?
Three times.
Yeah.
Oh. It was too low. It was too high, then it was too low, then you just right.
Yeah, it looked like it was
Goldilocks fixed. Situation.
It looked like it was fixing to take off.
Yeah.
Which you see some cars like that now, but gasser. I wanted a little rake.
Squatting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wanted a little rake to the car. So I got innovative, and it's a mono spring up there. The perches are going into the wishbones. And I had this thing all put together with the motor in it, the body on it, rolling like this pickup is here. And you could step on the front of the frame, and the wishbones would do like this.
Yeah.
Boing. So I talked to Paul about it, and he said, well, go in there and slice the wishbone and put a piece of quarter-inch plate.
Yep.
I did that, and that took it all away. Hmm. So... everything. You know,
those wishbones, those are what, 46?
They arch up in the front.
Yeah, they got the dog leg. Yeah, they got the dog leg.
Yeah.
Anyway, so what we were talking about, Gene, before we were rudely interrupted by the battery, was the dog leg on your A model wishbones. He was asking if they're 46s, and it's because I was going to jump in. It's, ever since I met this guy, I've started collecting A model parts. It's it's a disease.
Yeah.
He's right. It is. I have a surplus.
It's
but
better than dope.
I don't know about that. It's probably around the same.
It's more expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what those wishbones, what year are those?
46 through 48, I believe.
So that I have a pair of those that actually Matt gave me.
Oh, yeah.
And my little Roadster, it's going to work out perfect on that.
Yeah.
I've got a pretty heavy channel on it, and I was wondering where those wishbones were going to end up, and that little dog leg. But
it seemed to work out pretty good on that car.
If it wasn't for the sedan and you, I wouldn't even know that that was an option. Yeah, I've collected. I have three sets of those now. Three IBs.
Yeah, that's how that works.
Yeah.
I mean, I might know where one is. But yeah. So
so back to the sedan.
Yeah, we're on the sedan now.
All right.
The drama. We went through
the drama.
Yeah, you said the thing was sitting set up, and you started reverse engineering everything.
Yeah, we started in redoing the front end, and Mackie was over here at the time we cranked the motor, and we noticed something leaking out of the draft tube, and it looked green.
Uh oh.
Yeah, and next thing we know, we pull the heads off. Number 7 cylinder had a crack in it.
Y-blocks.
Y-blocks, exactly. So I called Paul about it, and he said, well, just get it out of the car and bring it down there, and we'll see what we can do. Well, it was irreparable. I think the crack was too big.
Wow.
But, you know, that's neither here nor there.
312.
Yeah, it was. Well, I learned one thing, and he did too, I'm sure. Don't bore out a 312. It's already been bored 40 over.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because you end up with a mess.
It's done.
Yeah. And, but we were able to get the car fixed, and I think Tommy Bourne had a block. I'm not sure, but I ended up getting one from him, and it was buildable.
Yeah, that was out in Mississippi.
Yeah.
We drove by his house when he said it was out of a farm truck or something, wasn't it?
Don't know.
Or was that the one with the 272 we tore
That's
down?
The one over there. Yeah.
So let's go back to these Goldwing doors on the sedan.
Okay.
Yeah. How'd you get to that?
Well, I don't know. It kind of reminded me of aircraft.
Yeah.
You know, when the pilots would swing open something or they would be ejected and that thing would fly up. Well, I had a centerpiece and then these two doors.
Right.
And it was just, that wasn't the way to exit. That was just the way to open them up and look down in the car.
Right.
So they were all louvered. I still have them back there in the back barn back there. But there was a lot of structural work. And
it's still in the car.
Yeah.
There's
I left the structural. Yeah.
If you ever get a chance to look at it.
If that thing could withstand a rollover, it probably would.
Yeah, it's got a roll cage, basically.
Yeah.
But that's I was really kind of going for the aircraft bomber look at the time.
Yeah.
And
I think you still accomplished that.
Well, a little bit.
Yeah. So why did you go away from the Doors? Did they not work, or you just didn't?
No,
like
we had them. It was a cabinet hinge that we used, and it was kind of weird. They came from Home Depot, and it kind of went down and back in.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And it was smooth. But I could see problems later on down the road.
Alignment issues, yeah, sagging issues.
Trying to keep it from flying up. It just wasn't going to be.
If it's anything like any of my cabinets, it squeaked.
Yeah, I think those are called French hinges.
Yeah,
I think they're French.
Yeah.
If I had to do it all over again, I would probably do it a different way.
Yeah.
But, you know, it just didn't suit me after I got it done.
Right.
And
now the floor in that thing, is it faux? Is it painted wood?
No, it's 18 gauge metal.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and it's painted, and then I think the technique was paint a base coat of, it's like a burnt orange.
Well, it's black,
red with black.
It's black with red oxide.
Right,
and then smear it, sanded through with Scotch Brite.
That's it. Right, and it kind of gives it a leathery wood look to it.
I didn't really know what I was doing.
It looks cool.
I just said, well, I'm going to try it and see what it does. And the dashboard is the same way. Oh, I'm sorry.
You're good.
You're good.
No,
you're
I
good.
Like it. Let's
cut that.
And
out.
The dashboard is the
drum
same.
Roll.
We need a cymbal.
All right. I just got remembered. I just remembered something really awesome. I'm gonna let you. The seats, the covering on the seats. Where are the what?
Oh man, we went on a cruise, and those things came from.
Yep.
Where'd you go? From. Genuine Mexican seats.
So
cushions.
They're cushions.
The blanket.
They're Mexican blankets
Serape.
From Mexico.
Yeah.
Genuine.
Is that the name for them? That's the technical name for them? Serapes?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what my door panels are done.
It's
in.
A serape,
I've never heard the technical name.
It's not just a rainbow pattern. It's anything of that cloth color.
I guess I just assumed that even in Mexico they called them Mexican blankets. There was a name.
The other acceptable vernacular, not by the Mexicans, is the Mexican drug rug. Is what they call it.
Wow, I didn't know that either.
Or a spring cover, which is what Americans use them for. When your spring's poking out, you just cover that.
That's
up.
That's exactly right.
Well, you thought you could get a good deal on them, but I think I paid retail. Retail down there.
Yeah. Where at in Mexico did you buy them?
Cancun.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's retail. Probably one of those shops. He's one of those tourist shops.
He paid the gringo price.
Right.
Look, here he comes.
We're going to jack it up.
His wallet's already out. Look at him.
I was going to say, I got a story about that. So that's where we went on our honeymoon, and we went to Playa del Carmen for the day. And that's supposed to be, you know, the big shopping area and all that kind of stuff. And we were like, oh, you know, we'll get the first shuttle and we'll hang out there all day, you know, go shopping and all that kind of stuff. And we were back on the second shuttle. Like, it was
you spent all your money or what?
Everybody, like, trying to pull you in, they're trying to barter and all that. Like, I'm the guy, like, if you tell me how much it is and I don't think it's worth that, I just move on.
Right.
Like, I don't barter. I don't know how to play that game.
It's not a rush for you.
Yeah, right. I'm just, some people love that.
For you, you know, the price is the price.
Flea markets and whatever, if you tell me it's $20 and I don't think it's worth $20,
you just walk away.
I'm just like, okay, great. You know, so, but man, it was just, I was so just frazzled with that. That and the other thing was, the lady's trying to grab my wife's hair to braid,
start braiding it to get
braid
the money,
her hair and stuff. Yeah, yeah, it was nuts. We were like, okay, we're out of here. Let's go back to the resort.
Get off her. She's an American citizen.
Right. Gene, did you have the ladies trying to braid your hair when you went to Mexico?
Trying to braid my hair?
Yes.
I have no hair.
No. I figured they would at least try.
No.
No. Dang.
They did this whole Bugs Bunny thing where they just massage.
No. Didn't have that.
Make
I?
It go back.
I don't think that's I was hilarious. On that boat.
It was a different boat. That was Tijuana.
Well, different been on a cheap boat.
Full price for half quality blankets. No, those look really good. They actually set the car off, I think.
Yeah, they
well,
did.
It provides the right amount of color.
Yeah. Well, it complements the floor without even...
It complements the floor, and then it brings the outside in.
I hope if anyone's listening, you really take the time to look at that. I know you're going to throw a couple of splash shots in there, but check out... Sean's article and as many pictures as you can get your eyes on, because it's still not going to do it justice.
Yeah,
no, it won't.
Yeah,
how about the tank mount on that car?
Oh, that's the tank mount.
Yeah,
it's homemade.
Yeah,
made you made here. It? Yeah. Yeah, I wanted something that would. I love those tanks. So
yes,
I think that's around a Model T.
Yeah,
style tank.
Yeah,
1900 vintage. But I wanted something to. Look better than just your normal stuff back there, but,
right?
And it's a subtle looking deal, you know. But
another thing you do is add the right amount of leather accents on everything.
Yeah,
like it's a tasteful amount.
Yeah,
I like the way you do. It's like it's not overkill. It's like right there leather.
Yeah,
and then,
right. I love the leather strapping.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, the hold downs.
The hold downs for the hood. Yeah, for the 32. That 32. Great. And that was one of the first compliments. Like, he needs any compliments from anybody, much less me. The first couple times I'm over here, I was like, those look really cool. And he's you're so forthcoming with, like, where you get it and how to do it. That's what I love about.
For sure.
And that's all I said was, that looks really cool. And you said, well, that's a company out of California. I'll show you right here in the book. And you've got catalogs and catalogs and stuff.
Yeah, those folks don't even... do hot rods.
Right.
They do stuff like Duesenbergs, Packards.
Right.
Yeah.
And
they're a period correct get you back to factory original.
Nice. Yeah.
And they don't know what you're going to do, the unholiness you're going to do.
No, they'd probably get a kick out of
it. I bet you they would. Yeah, they probably do. If anybody in that company is listening, thank you.
Just like telling an antique guy you're going to make that truck into a hot rod. Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
I ain't selling it to
you. Yeah.
If those guys see me coming, they ain't selling it anyways. Yeah, they know I'm going to do something weird to it.
He's going to put a tattoo on the side of that truck. right. Nope. Right near the fender cowl. I can see it, a neck tattoo.
He's probably going to vandalize it. So back to the 32, those little stainless steel runners behind the straps, you make all those or was that something that you got?
No, I got that idea when we went down to Georgia's one Saturday at a gathering down there, and he had just built this, that 30 something pickup that was all
with the louvers.
Oh yeah, I mean that thing.
Oh yeah, that was the one. Yeah.
The green one.
This with the mole car. The mole car.
Yeah, that thing.
He drooled. It's still dripping wet from his drool.
Oh, Steve mole car.
Oh no, it wasn't the mole 32.
No, you're talking about the pickup truck with all of the chrome louvers on it. I can't remember the name of the guy that built that. That wasn't down there when we went down
there.
Paul actually built the motor for that truck.
Really?
Yeah, and it was. I don't know what it was now, but he built the motor.
Dig that.
Yeah.
That was a younger builder that built that thing, wasn't it?
It was a tribute to, who was the guy that, it went away, that did the racing back in the day. I can't think of his name now, but it was a tribute to him.
Right.
Oh, the Miller truck.
Yeah.
Now I gotcha. Yeah. Yes. That was epic.
Well, we were trying to figure out a way to protect the paint from the buckles and all that.
Yeah.
Right.
And they did that on the gas tank.
Dig it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll just migrate that idea over to the hood and protect the paint.
Well, there it is right there. So I went down to Hendrix, got some polished stainless.
Yeah.
And
the rest is bead rolled history.
Yeah. And then you use those little... They call them rivet bolts. They have a round, smooth head,
right?
But you've got a nut on the back side, and that just added
for sure
more touch to the thing.
And you ran those through the bead roller to get that shape to them?
Yeah, it's got the two lines.
Yeah. Is it like, 22 gauge stainless?
It's thin. I went very...
Maybe 23.
I didn't get down on that bead roller much.
Yeah.
I just wanted something to kind of highlight that stainless.
Yeah, for sure.
And more to his craft, you'd think those were bought out of a catalog.
No, yeah.
When you see those, and I'm sure Sean will have those on the podcast, when you see the front end of that car,
Yeah.
You're like, what catalog did that come out of? It like, that came jeans. Out of Bongino's Direct.
That's right.
Bongino's Direct.
That is right.
But that's quality. You know, it's interesting, and Mike can back me up. Our friendship's blossomed over the last year and a half, but it's the parallels of the sedan are ridiculous. Because yeah. You know, when I came to you, I was like, well, he and I's personalities as far as aircraft. Like I've been talking about, yeah. I have another car that's somewhat abandoned at your Memphis Belle, B-17, Memphis yeah. Belle. I love aircraft. And then I start building the sedan because I need another project, just like right. You said. And that one's P-51 Mustang, car. So when he says... he tells me all the drama he went through with the sedan. He's like, I had too much of a kick up. And you look at the frame that I put together that Joel was making fun of. Or was it Stepan? He said, yeah. Look at those bed rails on that thing.
Yeah.
What a ridiculous kick up. And he goes, I had a 16-inch kick up. Yeah. I went too far.
Yeah.
We've gone too far. I did the same thing. I was like, no, that's where the gas tank's going to be lying all the way. Yeah.
We went over to his house to set up the four link, and I'm like, I think this kick up's going to be a little bit too, that's too much.
Up in your chin.
Yeah. It's a crash bar. Shut up. I want to protect the fuel cell and maybe tie my seatbelts to it. I don't know.
Right, your shoulders. We chopped that thing right up there in that garage up there, and we were really doing a good job until the body fell off the frame.
Cool, thanks.
And I said, well, but it was fixable,
right?
Nothing major happened to it, so.
Those A models are so fickle, and that's what I love about when Mike was helping me with get into it. You know, you always have to have like a Sherpa helping you up that mountain Everest. Because if you, they look so simple, but if you don't know the personality of those A models, those early Fords, you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
You don't know why the door doesn't line up. You don't know that the cowl's tweaked a certain way unless you've seen it or before or had somebody that knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
And we had and still do have a heck of a time with the coupe getting everything lined up.
Yeah. I don't know too many people, but that firewall sticks out a little bit on those Model A's.
Yeah.
So we reversed it.
Dig that.
Yeah.
Just flipped it around backwards. Right. Dig it. Yeah. That's old school stuff right there.
And that kept the car a little bit shorter.
Yeah.
And made the motor fit up in there. Because them Y blocks are kind of long.
Yeah. It's a big motor.
Yeah.
I like everything about that car is classy.
Well, thank you.
I mean, I'm going to just keep telling it to you on and off camera. I like your Musk. Yeah.
let's double back to this magazine article. So when is that going to be in the magazine? Well, what magazine?
That I can't tell you.
You can't tell me?
No, I mean, I don't know. I won't know until I submit it.
Until you submit it.
Yeah, I submit it, and then they'll figure out which issue. I'll keep people informed.
Stay tuned.
Through the podcast.
So what is the name of the magazine? Can we know that?
It's Modern Rotting.
It's Modern Rotting?
He said it's Modern Rotting.
Yeah. I wanted to reiterate
coming
that.
Soon to an Brian, issue near you.
Brian Brennan is the editor of Modern Rotting. So.
Okay.
If Brian, if you're listening,
go. Yeah.
Annie up, pal. It's an awesome car.
it's a very, very good car. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, you could pick almost any of these done or half done cars here.
Absolutely.
We're talking about.
Oh, that 32 in there is good.
We've talked about. Yeah, we've talked about two cars, but I mean, there's a stable here.
Absolutely.
There's a wagon out there. We didn't even talk about the roof to your sedan that has some ties to that wagon.
Oh, yeah. We were talking about the.
Once you abandon the gold wing situation.
The top. In that sedan is from a 59 station wagon.
Which you have sitting right here.
Yeah, which I have sitting right there.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
So you chopped up a perfectly good 59 station wagon.
Somebody did.
Somebody did. Put that roof in there.
And the thing about it, I just wanted the top.
Right.
Well, they cut it.
At the post.
At the post.
Yeah. Right.
And they sent me the A pillar. The D, the B, C, D, E,
F. So
part of the floor.
On the bright side, they could have made a really good ranchero out of the wagon they cut that roof off of.
And when I went to go get it, that thing was on a skid on a pallet. Yeah. I said, well, I went in my truck. Well, I got to go get a trailer.
Yeah, it'll be bad.
Because it was too big to go in the truck.
Was it a two-door roof or a four-door roof?
Four door.
Okay.
That's so funny. Okay. Again, the parallels. Yeah. because Mike was at my house in that nonsense, and I had gotten the idea to harvest a Jeep Renegade.
Yeah.
Never seen it done before. Maybe it hasn't ever been done. Might be the first if I can ever get it done.
Right.
But this thing just
added to the list. That's
it's an ever-growing list, man. But yeah, that thing lined up so crazy. Yeah. It was almost like it was made to be
there.
They
do line up good.
I mean,
the crowns.
Yeah, the crown on that. Yeah. Jeep has had a pedigree in donor roofs.
So you're talking about a Jeep on an A?
Yeah, it's already, if you come to our haphazard shop, that's almost weeks away from over
there.
It's sitting in the back. The roof that's actually grafted to it, Mike and I lined up. But when I went and harvested that thing off Mr. Complete, thanks, Mike, from down there. He let me on the yard. He's like, I'll cut you a deal, but you got to cut it off yourself. And I went with half the tools I needed, and he wound up helping me anyway. Which he was. I've got a GoPro time lapse of that. And the carbon steel that Jeep is putting in the rollover package for those things now is A+. Like, I went through like
a little
eight blades.
Than you thought.
I went through eight blades, almost set the yard on fire, which I have a tendency to do. But the
firefighters, man, they always set stuff.
Set stuff on fire. I've got pictures on my Instagram of the donor. Like it was like he said, I cut so much when Mike came out to look at it. Oh no, it's Paul. Excuse me, Paul. Paul came out to look at it. He said, Jesus, man, I didn't know you were going to take that much of it. I always take more than you need. I cut all the way down to the top of the door. Yeah. Like, I don't know how much metal I'm going to need.
Make it a roadster, man. It's all right.
Part of the windshield is in it?
Yeah, no, I cut halfway through the windshield. I cut up cars for a living. There was nobody trying to be saved in that. I had all the time in the world.
And your Instagram name is what?
Oh, it's introduction, Javier.Augustine. Come see me. Come see about me. It's wide open. No privacy. Follow me. Don't follow me. See something you like? Stop by.
Right. So what are you working on right now, Gene?
Well, I've been trying to work on the Model A back here.
Yeah.
But I think things are fixing to change. I got this frame in a couple of weeks ago. We got it in epoxy primer.
And tell me about that. What frame you got?
That is a Bolin Brothers frame. They're out of California. It's got a... it's a 714, they call it. It's kicked up 7 inches in the front. It's 14 inches kick up in the back. And it's mandrel bent is what really sold me.
For sure.
On the frame.
But it's tailored specifically for a certain size.
Yes,
something.
They have taken a 36 cab. You can go on their page and you can actually see how this truck cab is going to set down. It is channeled down over the frame.
Right.
So.
It's low.
Yeah. I mean, and with it being chopped, it's going to be low flying aircraft coming in. So, right. Yeah.
So you got your 36 cab to put on that thing?
Yeah. It's going to need a little work, but we've got it thanks to Javi. I mentioned to him about getting a 36. Well, I was going to go with a 40-48. But I really like the body lines on the 30. The 35 through the 37 are about the same body lines.
Yeah, it's got that swoop.
Yeah, and that just really looks good. Yeah.
6 months I heard him talk about how he – you know, you ever hear somebody like they're content with something, but then in the background they're like, but I'd really like – that other thing.
Yeah, we're going to use this.
But I really, what I really want.
Well,
the beautiful story there is.
Did you call me up?
Oh, it was better than that. You were having your knee surgery. Oh,
that's right.
The day of your knee surgery, I'm at Mike's shop, and I'm just like everybody who's in obsession crisis mode.
Well, that was January the 19th.
Yeah, wow, that's specific. And you said you don't have that. Okay, apparently it was January 19th. But
this guy, well, I found you one. Somewhere. Oh,
no, you were already in anesthesia. You were down. And I had texted your phone. I had texted his phone, and I was hoping to catch him before. You know, they hustle you in there, like 5:30 in the morning. Doctor ain't cutting until 10.
Right, easy.
You got to be there. You can't eat anything the night before.
Right.
You got to be there at 5:30. The doctor's not even had his coffee yet by 7.
Right.
And
what did I say? Go get it?
So I text him. I don't hear anything back, and I was like, wake up. I need you to wake up out of your surgery because I found this thing.
Out of your surgery.
I need I need the anesthesia to wear off. And I got, or I don't think this is consensual. So I finally got a hold of Miss Linda, and you were in post-op.
Okay.
You weren't even weren't even in the recovery bed. See, this is the funniest part about this whole thing.
Right.
I don't even think you remember this conversation.
I don't. I feel like I've been taken advantage of.
Yeah. I called it. He was probably still twilighted out. I called him and I said, Linda answered the phone. And I said, is he out? How's he doing? He's fine. Surgery went well. I said, can he talk? Said, I guess. Yeah, sure. And Gene, what's up, man? Hey, Javi, what's up? And he sounded, you know, legal.
Ish.
like, are you of sound mind? Don't answer that. So I found a 36. I sent pictures to you. Do you want it? And he didn't even look at the pictures. He's like, 36 cab? I said, yeah. He goes, do it. He said, do it. I think you said, your exact words was, is it good? That was all you said. Is it good? I said, it's the best.
Hey, I'm
half the left
on that. You know.
You know, it's the best. Well, where's it at? It's in Missouri. We'll work that out. Okay, I'm going to tell the guy. The guy said he had sold it already. I was super bummed. I said, well, it's for a dear friend of mine. And I started playing the violin music. You know, yeah. He's not doing well. He's in the hospital. Yeah. I'm just kidding. It was knee surgery. But
you're right.
But no, I told him, if it falls through, call me. And that was a Thursday, I believe, and on Friday.
I do remember. Yeah, I remember a little
on
bit.
On Friday, he called me direct and said, if you want it, it's yours. I said, I'm on the way right now. Yeah. Like, it was Friday night.
You made it up there and back in one day.
I hotshot it every time.
Yeah.
If there's something that needs to be got, you know why? Because I've realized with Facebook and anyone listening that does deals like that, if you don't do it right then and there, it's not going to happen.
It may not be there when
you want something and it pops up, you tell them I'm on the trailer or in the truck on the way to you.
Yeah,
it may be stuck on a trailer for 2 days on the way back, but it'll be there.
That was my property. And where's it at now, Shawnee boy?
So here's the question is,
we've got video of that.
That's the 36 truck with the frame. What's going on with that? What's the plan with that? 36 cab in the frame.
Yeah, get it put together.
Yeah.
You know, get it ready for the show.
Yeah.
I got the motor working on it some.
Yeah.
Got the transmission.
What motor transmission?
Well, it's typical, simple.
Small block?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, typical. What's on top of that thing? How's it breathing?
I hope the tunnel ram.
Yeah, you got 2.4 tunnel ram.
But it might be 3 deuces.
Well, you know, it's typical. You know, just typical. Something simple.
Right.
You know, something. Yeah. Multi-carb setup, no big deal.
Yeah. I like 3 deuces.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do too.
So this is going to be what we're building at the Legend Show.
I hope so.
Now we're
We are going to try and get all this stuff put together, chopped, possibly floor, maybe even a bed endeavor. We're not certain on that. We haven't talked on any of that. We'll see how it transcends. My question is how comfortable are you with the fact that we're going to take all of your parts, something that you've sought after for forever, load it onto a trailer, throw it in a parking lot, and do our best to put it together in 3 days.
72 hours.
That's counterintuitive to you. I know it is.
It's going to be not meticulous.
I'm doing what I can here.
He's freaking out over here, but when we get there, I guess he's got to
He's going to have it prepped together so it's like snapped together.
I'm sure. Feel like Legos, numbered.
Every bolt's going to have a Torx spec.
No, Mike, it goes over there. It goes over there.
I'm cool with that. I can take direction. That won't bother me a bit.
There'll be a lot undone, believe me.
Yeah.
But,
Sean's volunteered to do all the electrical by himself for three days.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll wire it for you. Okay. I got you.
Yeah, that's definitely that Sean, not this Sean.
Yeah.
I was buying the easy wire kit.
Okay. Oh, look, your job's done. Perfect. All you got to do is glue it on there.
Yeah, well, I'll get with you, and we'll put all the pieces and parts and the switches. And
I mean, it's just going to be a minimum put together.
Right.
Yeah,
you know,
like a little 8-circuit harness. Yeah. Piece of cake. Yeah.
Get it going.
No power windows.
Oh, no.
No air conditioning.
No.
Power seats.
Oh, no.
Roof rack.
Seat warmers.
But we're going to have cup holders, though.
Well, yeah.
Hey, I like cup holders.
Yeah. Where are you going to put your sweet tea?
So, Barrington, what are you doing on the car?
taking pictures of it.
Yes. Probably, yeah. That's what he does.
And I'll be running around like an idiot, probably selling t-shirts or
and putting out fires like everything else.
Yeah. While y'all are just over there like right. concentrating on the car.
Yeah.
So welcome everybody to the Legend Show.
So and y'all might want to cut this out, but if there are any guys want to help, just holler at me.
Yeah.
Or Mike Abbott.
Yeah.
Or Sean.
Yeah. You're going to help us, right? Yeah. You're going to help us do this thing?
Heck yeah, he's going
to. Yeah. Oh, I told him after he got out of the hospital, he's been promoted. He's a shop foreman now.
Yeah, so absolutely.
Yeah.
We need that.
You knew that. I told you that.
I don't want to be a shop foreman.
Okay. You want to work for a living still.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's okay.
Didn't want all that responsibility.
Yeah.
Get some more PT on that knee, man. He's ready to go.
That's right. Hey, speaking of that, and there's a video, stick around after the credits like a Marvel thing. This guy, they make you stand up and walk out of the hospital now when you have total knee replacement. Apparently, he's on a walker. I showed up after that hot shot run to get the cab, and like a little kid on Christmas, he comes hobbling out there with his walker.
to see it.
Yeah. I got a video of that. Yeah. If I can find it, we'll attach that to the thing.
Yeah, it's been a tough 3 to 4 months.
Yeah, I know.
For sure.
Yeah.
But things are getting brighter.
I hope so.
You still got some gas left in the tank.
I hope so.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I just take it day by day.
Yeah, that's the only way you can take it.
Well, I'm here for it.
Keep moving. That's it. Just keep moving.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I've been trying to tell my dad, too. It's like, I'm like, you just got to keep moving.
Yeah.
Like, don't stop.
You need purpose.
That's why, you need something to do. Keep moving.
Absolutely.
Somehow the doctors, they can see your activity level. And they told me last week that we didn't expect you to.
Yours was too much.
Yeah.
did you tell the doctor to go find less? You're doing too much. We'll find less, doc.
Well, even in rehab, I was in the wheelchair, and I said, you want a race, buddy? they had to slow me down.
That's what I'm talking about, man.
Oh, so, hot rodders, man. What are you going to do?
You're walking too fast, you know.
Yeah.
So, but, yeah.
Well, dig it.
Well, so Gino, I've got a question for you. Sure. We've had a couple of episodes where we've actually talked about Bluefoot. You know, he's come up in conversation.
Yeah.
And you own his old, it's a 59 Ford wagon.
It's a 59 country sedan, two-door.
Yes.
Yeah.
And when you got that, it wasn't red when you got it, was it? And black, maybe?
No, it was more on the Tennessee orange color.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
That color.
So this is the same car that Blue worked out of. He pinstriped
yes,
out of
it. Yes, it is.
Car.
I remember seeing it. He would go to work. I believe he was a pipe fitter. Plumber,
yeah. I think so.
But I would see that car.
well, we heard that he was a narcotics agent.
What?
Yeah, that was. I don't know who it was. It's on the
Facebook or YouTube. Somebody had posted.
Oh yeah, because Lewis Kimmery had posted a picture of his Mercury.
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So I posted it on the 49-51 Mercury page saying, "Hey, we're looking for this car. If anybody."
Right.
Anyway, knows it or whatever, and somebody who knew him, well, somewhat knew him or whatever. She I think it was a she, wasn't it?
I don't know.
Yeah,
keep going.
He or she said, you know, he was a narcotics agent.
Get out of here!
And I was like, I don't think so, but Blue. I don't really know, you know, or whatever. And she said,
no, Bluefoot was he was a biker. Yeah. He was a pinstripe
artist,
guy,
yeah.
And for a minute, he was a pipe fitter.
But you know what,
and a skydiver.
I was a skydiver. But you know, I wouldn't put it past him being an arc agent like it. You know,
I think he was just a legendary dude.
Yeah,
so he was one of those dudes that people just made up. The guy wrestled bears.
Yeah, right.
They made up all kinds.
That's
of stories
real, by the way. Go back and watch the Ricky Neal episode.
Yeah. So back to the car. So. Blue actually used a pinstripe out of that car.
That's
epic. If you called him for it, when you got the car, was there any spilt paint and stuff like that in the back?
No, it was sitting in his driveway over there on Tillman.
Yeah.
And you know, he did window etching, glass etching.
Yes.
And
yes.
I've still got the glass back on the back side. Yeah. It's about 4 or 5 foot long.
Yeah.
And where he had done some etching.
On that car.
But the car had all kind of issues with it.
Yeah.
But he had graduated from that into a Caprice, I think.
That was the blue car with the blue flames.
Right, yeah.
I gotcha.
But I had been looking for a wagon. I really wanted a 57.
Yeah.
But this was here local, and I knew the car, and I knew Bluefoot, and we made a deal.
Yeah. Yeah. That, a lot of people are jealous. A lot of people love that car.
Well, they do. It's been a complete frame-off registration.
Yes.
Registration.
I like it. I'm going to call it that from now on.
You know what? From now on, that's
what
it's going to be. Because at some point you plan on driving it. I got four future registrations.
It's been a frame-off
restoration.
Yeah. That's part of Memphis history
That's a beautiful car.
Yeah. That's a big deal. Yeah.
That's a beautiful car. Red. There was another car, though, you're affiliated with that's red. I wanted to talk about.
Oh, the 34.
Is this the Von Dutch situation?
No, the Elvis car?
Oh, the Elvis car.
Not the 34.
That's the little sprint car.
Yeah, that thing's got some history. I didn't even know after talking to you.
Yeah, well,
we can touch on it. What is
it? Okay, I'll make it sweet and short. Jimmy Colfer had contacted me about doing some metal work, and I said, sure, I'll come by there and take a look at it. Well, he needed the whole front cap, grill shell, hood, sides.
To a mini sprint.
Yeah.
That's a lot of work.
What had happened to it?
What
was wrong with it? Why did it need a...
The car had been dismantled, and it was owned by several different people.
Yeah.
So they had to try to get the frame, the body. Somebody didn't want to sell this or that. And the frame was made out of stainless steel.
Wow.
It was made by Solar.
Wow.
A company. Now, I'm just going on what Jimmy has told me.
Yeah, for sure.
It was made by an aircraft company called Solar out in California. But anyway, Jimmy was commissioned to get this thing back going. Well, just to get it back to the way it would look when Elvis had the car. Elvis had wrecked it.
Right.
At some point in time. And I went over there and looked at it, and I said, try it. And all we had to go by was an 8x10 black and white picture.
Right.
And I talked to Jimmy quite a bit about, well, what about this? What about that? Mm-hmm. And he would say, he was real easy going. He'd say, just try to get it as close as you can.
Yeah, yeah.
And it had a scoop coming up out of the hood, and I don't know if that was for the carburetor or if that was a tachometer housing.
Right. Yeah, it was a goofy looking scoop.
It was.
Yeah.
So I was scratching my brain to figure out, well, what can I get? So I ended up getting a turnout that was made for a 4-inch header.
Yeah.
And made it where it would fit contour on the hood.
For sure.
Made it where it would bolt on and off. And that was one obstacle that was pretty well taken care of. But the motor was like so big, it had this blister on the side.
Yeah.
Because those motors were offset in the frame for cornering.
Right.
And it was tight. I tell you, that little cockpit, it was tight.
Yeah, it was small. I can imagine Elvis was greased to get in there.
You know, he I guess he had the car when
who owned it before him?
Oh,
he bought it from somebody.
I was just thinking about that. This car was Von Dutch owned it before Elvis. He bought it
that
from Von
epic.
Dutch, I believe now.
Oh my
So this thing's at the museum.
Yeah, last I heard it was at the Elvis Museum.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. On display.
At Graceland.
Graceland. Imagine this, and this is just how my brain works. I wonder what the conversation looked like between Von Dutch and Elvis when they were bartering that deal. That had to have been so epic. I wish I had a picture of that.
Yeah. Right.
It was at a car show at the fairgrounds.
Here in Memphis.
Here.
Yes.
In Memphis.
Yeah.
Von Dutch had it at a car show in Memphis.
I don't know if Elvis had had, I think Elvis had it then.
Right, yeah.
Well, one of the Memphis Rotters contacted one of Elvis's
people,
and they needed some cars to come to this car show. Okay. Now, this is just what stuff I've heard.
That's in the early years of the Memphis Rotters.
Yeah, I think, if I remember correctly, Marshall said that was like the first
official
show that they had at the fairgrounds, and they needed extra they needed something to bring people in. Elvis brought them
in. And this picture that I've got, it was a copy of a copy. George Klein signed it, and Alan Fortas signed it. And I think Jimmy Coffer's got more pictures if you wanted to go down there. He can tell you a full-blown.
He's definitely somebody we want on the podcast.
Yeah,
yes.
He can tell you a full-blown.
Yeah, we were talking about that story. Today. We were like, Jimmy Coffer, we got to have him.
Yeah,
podcast.
You know, all I did was just a minimum amount of work and gave it back to Jimmy, and they painted it. Cecil's Upholstery did the upholstery work.
Yeah, it looks good too, man.
Yeah,
it's Cecil's son actually works in somebody else's shop.
Right.
And I think Aaron Ballou did some of the lettering on. I think so.
I think he did.
Yeah.
And then they got a guy that used to be local here, Perkins. Perkins was his name. I can't think.
Carl Perkins.
No.
This was after that.
Real fancy on the guitar, that guy.
But
he got rhythm.
I don't know.
He does.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. Yeah. But I do know Blue. Yeah. I remember Jimmy telling me that Blue did. Yeah.
So that's a big deal for Aaron following Von Dutch, man. Good for you, brother.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
That was the highlight of my career, I guess.
That's a big deal. You know. You worked on Von Dutch's car.
Hey.
And Elvis.
And
her name's Von Gino.
Well, the story on that, from what I understand too, was that Elvis wrecked it, right? Like you said. But he didn't sell it. His father
took it from him?
Because
he wrecked it?
Yeah, no, because he was
Do you have the pantomime story of how he wrecked it? Was he drunk? Was he driving it down Elvis Presley Boulevard?
Idea.
It,
no,
come
probably,
on, man.
It was probably just the boulevard back then.
What was it called before Elvis lived there?
Highway 51?
It was just Highway 50? Yeah. Or was it Bellevue all the way down?
It had to have been Bellevue.
Had to have been.
It turned to 51 once you cross the state line.
No, it turned into Bellevue.
No, it's always been Highway 51. It's a route. It's route Highway 51. But
it turns into Bellevue on the other side of the interstate. So I bet bucks it was just Bellevue before it was EP.
Yeah.
It could have been.
Well,
something
I set up Elvis Presley Command on a wreck yesterday. Which
do what?
I work down there now. I'm riding up as a lieutenant.
So that's cool.
Yeah, I've made calls into Graceland already. And
have you seen him?
No, I wasn't wrecking a car in Memphis.
You went upstairs?
No, we haven't done that. I don't know if that's going to happen.
That's fine.
Well, his spirit is there.
No.
His spirit will always be there, right?
A little less talk, a lot more action.
Well, here we go.
No, it's all downhill.
Do it. Look, full in. Go full in. Commit.
Yeah. Come on, Harvey.
No. I'm not your puppet.
Not a performing monkey.
Yeah.
What else we got? What we want to add to this thing? Let's tie a bow on this thing.
So let's talk a little bit about the Legend Show. We were thinking Labor Day.
Yeah.
And we are not quite ready to announce where it's going to be.
Not quite.
We're working that out, but
everybody has to wear white.
Everybody has to wear white. So
and also
Wimbledon. It's at Wimbledon.
No.
Yes.
Also, it will be. The Latch Years Legend Show will be featured in Trent's magazine.
There you go. We better get hot on this.
What's Trent Shells?
Let's talk about that for a second.
What's the name of the magazine?
Old School Rotten Custom.
Sean Young made this outlandish, I want to say blue-esque claim that you would have this thing. You made a deal with the devil? I don't know what you did behind closed doors, but the you got your car chopped, okay? That was enough. No, the PPG people.
No, not PPG.
Who was it?
No, House of Color.
House of Color.
House of Pain, it sounds like.
Acquired some pain.
Acquired some pain, but you made this claim. We will. I get it. We were all excited. We got We will be driving this at the next show painted.
Painted. And luckily, I think if we
have a shop now and we can.
No. I think if the metalwork is done and all of that's done by the time of the show, we'll be lucky.
I don't know why you're looking at me.
I know.
I'm sitting up there on Saturdays twiddling my thumb going, man, I wish y'all would bring this damn car up here.
We canceled shop nights just to get you the Mercury.
Okay. I'll be there Saturday.
Okay. All right.
I'll stop by with donuts.
I won't.
Trends Magazine is Speed and Culture. They will be featuring the show in their issue just before the event, issue that is.
August.
Yeah. So make sure that you you check out their magazine and give that a look if you want to see what last year looked like.
Yes.
I like how much momentum that the show has already gotten. Last year was a chop. And that was a big deal.
It was huge.
It was fun. Like, who's undertaking that? Who thinks about that? Many people, probably. Really? And then it's like, you know what? How we top that? Let's build an entire vehicle.
Somebody told me earlier what my number one problem is. They said, Mike, your number one problem is everything you do, you swing for the fence.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. I'm swinging for the fence.
Amen.
It's a basketball with a baseball reference. But
I don't understand what the hell you're talking about.
I don't even watch sports or TV.
You got to shoot your shot, homie. Anyway.
Shit your shot?
Whoa.
Yeah, home run.
All right. We're going off the beaten path.
Home run.
Yeah. Legend show. We don't have an exact place. Around Labor Day. Everyone start getting excited. Go back and look at the videos and pictures and look for the magazine featurette. Yeah. So,
Gene, what you got to add?
Get her done. Got one last thing to kind of throw at everybody. So Sean and I went to the funeral services for Melody Kelly today. Yeah.
Hated to hear that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the Kellys, her husband Dennis was a prominent hot rod guy around Memphis, and I think he passed 7 years ago.
7 years ago.
Yeah.
And Melody passed and left us a few days ago. So hats off and prayers the Kelly family.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Dennis and Blue will be there meeting her for sure.
Oh, yeah, it's a mess right now, isn't it?
Yeah. No doubt. But
she was a fantastic lady.
Yeah, one of the sweetest ladies. Yeah. Like, you want to talk about somebody that you never saw her without a smile on her face.
Always happy.
No matter what it was. Yeah. No matter what it was.
She wasn't, you know what I liked about her very briefly, I met her, if I can say anything sweet. Was that she wasn't just tolerant of our retarded behavior and obsession. She was genuinely happy to see people happy having this hobby.
Yeah.
And she was happy to share in that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you pray, if you're a guy or girl in this, that you find a significant other that's into that. And she was definitely in that.
Oh, yeah. She was definitely in. Yeah. Joe Capodanno had a photo, I think it was 2008 or something, where she presented him with a cake for his birthday, and you know, she was like Marilyn Monroe looking. And it was just so typical of her and what you would see from her for sure. So she was a great girl.
Really fantastic.
Yeah.
So Sean, what are you doing this weekend?
I am going to battle in Bama. I leave Thursday.
It's not even a car show. It's monster truck race.
We're going to fight.
So good. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's such a great show. Craig Rally puts that on, and it's my second year to go, first year to work it.
Yeah. Commissioned to go there. Yeah,
commissioned.
Hey, I like it.
Yeah. Yep. But it takes place in front of the USS Alabama on Mobile Bay.
Epic.
Awesome. Talk about, photographer's dream to have, a backdrop like that.
You got
stuff.
A battleship in the background. Exactly. I mean, what the hell? That's amazing.
You can't beat that at all, you know. And then, so Friday night, they have tacos on the battleship. So
what?
Yes.
I can't be there. I'm sorry.
They
want to be
serve
there.
Tacos on the battle?
Serve tacos on
shit,
the battleship.
Shit, I'm going to go just for Friday.
It just seems like bad logistics.
Too late, man. It's sold out.
Wow.
They have a 1,300 car limit.
I got you.
Space.
I can get in.
I might know somebody if he's commissioned. Hey, if you actually came down there, then I could probably pull a string or two. But my buddy Chris Johnston, he and I are going down there, and he was going to bring his Dodge truck that didn't quite get there. So yeah. Little EFI issues as usual, you know, something here and there, and the sucker started backfiring like nobody's business. Yeah, we're not going to say what name is.
Just going to hold my tongue when it comes to EFI.
You know, yeah, I was going to say, there you go. You could say carburetor or whatever, because every one of the, you know, it's one of those things where it's like you're dependent on electronics. You know,
right. and not me.
Yeah,
not me.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
and it,
get a Y block with Pertronics. Yeah, it'll be some point.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Right. No. See, I mean, that's the thing. Is like, they're great when they work, but when they don't, sometimes they just don't. And you know, so
what's your old saying, Mike?
Yeah.
What's that?
What's your old saying about cars? Right. It's great when they're running and
hell when they're not.
Yeah. Oh. I was going to say, and normal when they're not. Is that what?
Yeah. For me. Yeah, normal for me.
Sometimes maybe good, sometimes maybe shit.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
That's old cars, though. I mean, you're going to have problems. Yeah. Somebody told me the other day, they said, the only old cars you're not going to have problems out of are the ones that you keep parked in the garage. And that's the truth.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's, you know, I cleaned. It was funny. So I was cleaning up the Chevy because I'm bringing the Chevy down there, and I have not been underneath that car, well, since I broke the Panhard bar on it, and but I didn't clean it. I haven't cleaned the underside of that car in forever, and you know the mufflers have been busted open 5 million times and stuff, so it blows junk out of it, and it was, man, I think I went through 7 or 8 different microfiber towels trying to clean it up, and that wasn't like degreasing, it was just cleaning it,
right?
So, but no, it's fun, you know. So next thing to do is I get to start polishing aluminum.
I hear you're good at polishing.
He knew a guy that would do a whole transmission.
I know, that's why I was like, who is that guy?
Yeah, that was a long time ago. That don't exist no more.
I know, because I want to I'd really like to take my supercharger to somebody and have them polish that thing.
You gotta send that out of town now. Yeah. And man, the cost on something like that is.
Well. Yeah, I think Dan's polishing, I think, up in Adamsville. Yeah, I think he does it.
Yeah.
So that's not bad. I don't have to actually, I could actually drive it up there and drop it off, which would be nice. Because there's another place in Ohio that's known for doing it. Yeah. So, but be nice. So,
all of us here at Von Gino's Garage. Thank you for stopping by, Gene.
You're welcome. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Man, you're my guy.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Gene. Well, thanks. We really appreciate it.
I enjoyed it, y'all.
Thanks for listening. It's been great. We'll see you guys next week.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Bye-bye.
Bye.